It was an up and down week for Orange County as they knocked off the final undefeated team in the USL Championship in Sacramento. And then a bad 15 minutes sees them drop all 3 points at home against Phoenix Rising. Losing to Phoenix Rising at home is never fun, but we'll talk about that. Got more to look forward to. And let's get into it. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast that's dedicated to your Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. After a week where it was just me and Nathan hanging out talking and a great chat with Ashish, I don't want to discredit that. We got some familiar faces back. First, let's bring them on. Dylan, the man who used to be a weekly appearance in Caroline Coalition. Now it's a more, random appearance, but hey, he's still a fan. Dylan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I was thinking I might start a second Orange County podcast just so you would have to change the intro a little bit. I know it's memorized for you, so I just want to make things difficult.
You just want to do that on purpose?
Yeah, I'm here to make things challenging.
He's trying to split up the team here. Now we got to figure out what team everyone would go with. Hey, we got Larry joining us today. Are you picking Team Dylan or Team Ray for the podcast when we split up here?
That's such a hard decision. You know, my dad's name is Ray. I have a nephew named Dylan. I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan. My dad was actually a jerk. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Am I the jerk in that scenario?
Mommy and Daddy, I love you both.
I don't think
he didn't pick.
We're not actually getting a divorce. I just need you to know that.
Well, let's see if someone actually has the courage to make a decision. And that's Taylor. Taylor, welcome back. It's been a long time.
Thank you.
Are you Team Dylan or Team Ray at this point?
Team Dylan all the way.
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's the one coup I really wanted. That's the goalkeeper I had to pick,
There we go.
I would 100% pick
Taylor.
I'm sad now. I'm sad now. I don't know if I can go on.
Well, you're gonna have to.
Oh yeah, we gotta go on. We got stuff to talk about here. It's always fun. Welcome back, Taylor. You've been celebrating a bunch of million things. And obviously those things are more important than our little soccer chats weekly, but we're glad to have you back.
Thank you. Definitely not more important. It just kept me away, that's all.
How have things been going for you, Taylor?
Good. I'm now first week in a bar prep for taking the bar in July, but officially graduated law school. So all is going well on my side.
Awesome. Well, let's get into this talk because there's a lot for us to talk about. Obviously, I didn't have any of y'all last week. What we got to do is we got to talk about a loss in Oakland. We got to try and preview quickly some matches against Sacramento and Phoenix. And we got to talk to Ashish. You missed a really great conversation. He was an awesome guy. Great guest to have on. And we're looking forward to him recovering from injury quickly and back on the podcast, back on the pitch soon. Let's talk about that first match that happened this past week. Orange County knocked down the last undefeated team in the league. We're talking about both East and West in Sacramento Republic. I will say this. I want to get an honest opinion from all of y'all. Who realistically or who went into this match thinking this would happen? Dylan, did you think this would happen?
No.
Honestly.
Absolutely not. No.
I saw Larry shaking his head. No, Taylor, honestly, did you think Orange County would pull off that major upset?
No, I definitely didn't think of a win, but I definitely wouldn't have predicted the as big of a loss that I did had I seen the starting 11.
and I wish our producer was had this amazing technology where he could pull back scenes from last week, but I just want to know, what did I pick? Didn't I picked Orange County to win this match, I believe. I didn't pick the goal scorer. I thought it would be Ashish, but I picked the win. go Orange County, I believe, unless I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm not wrong. Let's talk about this match. I mean, pretty good match. Probably we could say one of the better matches of the season, if not the best performance from Orange County this season. Obviously, there was a rotation from both sides because it was a midseason match with both teams, I believe, playing this past weekend as well. So you're going to see some rotation, also some injuries here and there. Dylan, your thoughts on this match against Sacramento? How did Orange County pull up this upset?
I think finally actually being defensively kind of secure, but I think the other side of it was really threatening on the counter and not necessarily hitting it long, but actually being able to like be productive with the limited amount of the ball that we had. I mean, if you're not paying attention, 62% possession for Sacramento, 38 for us, because, you know, it would have to equal 100. I'm not good at math. Anyway, if you give the majority of the ball to an opposing team, but you strike early, in this case, 6 minutes in, 5 minutes in, and they're starting to wonder about whether or not they can push numbers forward, it gets a lot easier for you to do your job as a defender. So it basically went all the plan for us. There was a couple little scares, and there was a chance we could have gone two up, but as far as our game plan probably needs to be at this point in the season, this one was almost executed to perfection.
Larry, do you agree with Dylan on his assessment of this match? Is there anything else you saw that led to Orange County's victory, or did you see anything that maybe says this was more of a luck victory than an actual earned victory for Orange County?
I don't think it was luck at all. This team played fantastic. And that combination up front, we got to see 45 minutes of it Wednesday, and we got to see 45 more minutes of it on Saturday. Milan and McNulty. The interplay between these two, McNulty's awareness. Man, let's take a minute and talk about Sparky. This guy is a difference maker. If he is on the pitch from the start of the season, we are not sitting at 2-7-5 or whatever the hell our record is, awful record. This guy is, he is one hell of a soccer player. He looks great out there. Just got to get his lungs up so that we can get him for 90 minutes instead of 45. The back line looked great in this game. Ryan was a beast. Marcus played fantastic. There was a lot of pluses to this. Unfortunately, it didn't translate over. Well, actually, I take it back. It did translate over to Saturday night. We just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net Saturday night. So, no, I don't think this was luck at all on Wednesday. I think that was a well-earned win. And I really felt like it was the turning point of the season for us. Yeah, that's what I got right now.
All right. Let me get to you, Taylor, really quick before I get your assessment on this match. Last week, you know, we were discussing the team and, you know, the changes or lack of changes with the transition from Coach Chablo to Coach Carlson. And Ashish Chadha came on the show and basically said, no, we're working on changes and you're going to see the changes. And you've seen some of the changes already at this point, and I think we're playing more possession ball, and it's really going to shine. And I think I asked him the question 2 months from now, where are we going to be? And Orange County is going to be competing for a playoff spot, if not a top four spot. So I love that confidence there. Did you see any of these changes that Ashish was talking about last week? Have you noticed any changes in this team since the transition from Coach Richard Chablo to the new regime? And then thoughts on this match?
Yeah, so I'll first echo Larry with Sparky on there. I can't remember what it was. It might have been one of the preseason games, but Ash and I were talking, and it was a preseason game. Ash and I were talking, and I was like, if he is on there, like, he is gonna have like one of the top assists in the league for sure. Like, you could just see that he is so unselfish on the ball and really plays like what is best. And I think so, like, having him out there, huge impact. And then obviously I'm going to talk about goalkeepers. We have Shuttler back out there instead of Cropper. And I've not been quiet about that publicly, that I think Shuttler should have been given way more of a chance. I said, oh, we're a development team. And people were like, no, not for goalkeepers. We need someone. But give him the chance that we're giving all these other younger players. And he's really, really strong. His weakness is possession at his feet. Like, he's not good under pressure, but that's going to come from experience. But the rest of his playing, I think, is a little, is good, really good. compared to what we have been seeing in there. And there's no just fancy dives with I don't know how to explain it, but like just pretending to do something is basically what I'm saying. And we're seeing Shuttler coming through with big dives that are giving us a 1-0 win now.
Let's talk about a moment of the match. Unfortunately, our guest last week, Ashish, great guest, gets injured. I don't believe if you watch the replay, it's he gets stepped on. And twist the ankle pretty bad. And there was no call at least, or maybe a call. I can't remember. But I know there was no card and I thought it definitely deserved a card on that. You got to laugh also watching Jagger afterwards, sort of mad that the club is trying to check on Ashish and see if he's, you know, okay. And he barely could walk off the pitch and all that stuff. Did that play deserve a card? Does anyone think that there should have been at least minimum a yellow card on that play? Larry shaking his head. No, Larry.
No, I don't think so. It was just a fluke thing. I don't remember if the guy got the ball or not, but yes, he did step on Ash's foot, obviously, and you could see the leg just kind of bend all funky, sort of. But no, I don't think that was card worthy. I mean, I always want to see the other team get a crap ton of yellow cards, but I don't think that was worthy of a yellow in that case.
Taylor, you want to chime in on that? Do you think that there was at least a yellow deserved on that? I mean, he didn't get a piece of the ball, Larry. And it was a pretty late challenge and you're stepping on someone's foot and twisting his ankle. I think that's a really, what I would consider a dangerous play. And when you read the rules, a dangerous play should lead to some sort of booking.
Yeah, for me, it was on the fence. And I don't remember it exactly, but I remember watching and I remember being like, I don't even know. What happened? Like, I wasn't sure if it was like the stepping on or if it was his ankle, but I think someone sent like a still of it and I was like, ooh, ow. But oh, Larry sent the still through, but I don't know. I think it was one of those borderlines, but I wouldn't at the time, obviously, I was like, oh, but I don't think I'd be fighting for a card for it, but it was definitely nasty and super unfortunate.
So I would have been like the one person out there if I'm, you know, the coach on the sideline, I would have been probably picking up a card for arguing that. Cause I my opinion is it should have been at least a yellow. I thought it was a dangerous play. And again, I just look at it too. Gurz just sitting there like barking, like, come on, get him off the pitch and acting like he did nothing wrong or anything like that. I get it. It's the sport. Dylan, any thoughts on this?
Nothing to add. No, let's keep it going.
Who's your superstar of the match against Sacramento, Larry?
Oh, it's Sparky without question. Sparky. No question whatsoever. With you on that one. It's got to be Sparky or it's got to be Ryan Dogman. One of the two. You take your pick.
And I saw Taylor nodding yes when you said Sparky, so I'm going to assume Taylor's going that route also.
Yeah,
Taylor's biased.
I am biased. It's got, you know, it's close when they stick together, but no, I saw what I thought would come from him for sure.
I'm surprised that Taylor's not going out, you know, with Colin Shuttler. He made a couple big saves to keep Orange Cannon's match. Obviously, there was a couple opportunities that maybe Sacramento should have scored because he was, you know, slightly out of position or the defense let him down. But he made a couple big saves.
Come to his defense there, because a lot of people were saying that he was out of position for one of the really far shots, and he wasn't. He was where he should have been, and they took the advantage. So many people told me that he was out of position. They took advantage of him being like that step further out because of where the ball was at. But I don't think he was out of position. They were seeing what they could get away with him. So I'm coming to his defense there. But well, for me, it's position at feet.
I'll help you, Taylor, on that. I mean, if you watch the replay on that, I mean, if the ball is on target, he gets his hand on it. I mean, he's right there. It just hits the crossbar and goes over. But yeah, if it's 6 inches lower, his hand's touching that ball and it's more than likely being knocked over the crossbar or at least knocked off to the side. So again, I know the argument you were hearing. That's why I was calling that out, you know, out of position, but he made a couple big saves for Orange County that kept the clean sheet. And that's a rarity this season for Orange County is a clean sheet. So that's awesome. Dylan, any other names you want to call out for superstar of the match?
It's gotta be McNult. I mean, you can obviously give some credit to Olosky for roofing it, but I mean, what a pass.
Well, I mean, that shot from Milan, it was a blast. I mean, no goalkeeper is stopping that. You have to be very, very, quick on your reactions to stop that blast. Let's move ahead. So coming off a big win against Sacramento, knocking off the last undefeated team, Orange County hosts Phoenix Rising. Probably, if you look at it, another solid match for Orange County, let for, you know, this like 10, 15 minute run where Phoenix sort of capitalizes and gets the one goal of the match. I'll go to you first, Taylor. For this match against Phoenix, is Orange County unlucky, or was that a well-deserved win for Phoenix?
I think it was. I don't think it was a well-deserved win for Phoenix. I think we played extremely well. I think things just didn't. We didn't get to capitalize quite the same. We didn't get that one goal in. We had opportunities. We could have gotten it. So I mean, I'm not going to call it unlucky. Maybe it was a little unskillful in places or a little rushed. We had a lot of shots. It didn't need to be shots. Like, play the game through, be a little bit more patient. And I think we just let them capitalize on that one mistake. I think there was an opportunity, in my opinion, that they could have had another goal or a little bit earlier on, besides the one that was offside. So there was more opportunities for them as well, and there was more opportunities from us. I think the scoreline could have been a lot higher, but I think the ref was also not on our side. But I think if things were just slightly different, like, we could have done it.
Larry, let me ask you, can we be frustrated or mad with Milan Alaski? Cause it seems like many of his shots were right at the goalkeeper. I think a lot of the Orange County shots were right at the Phoenix keeper. I mean, watch one right there on the highlights. I think that was McNulty, like right at the goalkeeper. Looks like it almost is going to sneak through the legs there. And the goalkeeper luckily, you know, closed right at the last minute. Unfortunately, Shuttler couldn't do the same thing on his end when the shot came through later on in the match. But is there a concern or a frustration that many of the Orange County shots were right at the Phoenix goalkeeper?
Rios, whatever his name is, he leads the league in saves. But when you are putting the ball right into the middle of his chest or right into his hands, you know what? If you shoot 40 balls directly at me, I'm going to stop all 40 of them if I don't have to move at all. So, yeah, that definitely made a difference in this game. Milan, I don't remember which game when I was watching the replay or watching last Wednesday at home. Watts had said Milan has taken more shots than anybody in the USL Championship so far this year. By far, it's not even close. A ridiculous amount more. I almost feel like sometimes Milan is pressing a little bit, trying to do more than what he needs to do. These goals are going to start coming for him. There's no question there. But yeah, we did not make their goalkeeper. We didn't make the Phoenix goalkeeper work at all. So that makes it a hell of a lot easier. I mean, there's that one right there where, you know, great pass in and Milan, you know, footed it right over the top. Cause this is some great ball work. I mean, here from Dogman and in there, that one, that should have been a goal right there. But yeah, you got to keep shooting. There's no question, but just got to take some better shots. And we aren't right now. We've got one game where we have multiple goals. That's it. Out of 12, one game with multiple goals. That's not going to get it done. So needs to be improved upon.
I feel like, Larry, if you were the goalkeeper and you're getting 40 shots shot at you, you'd be like that one. There's that parody on YouTube, the goalkeeper that keeps getting hit right in the face every save. I picture that is you. That's how you're saving all 40 of those shots.
Yeah, no question. That's fine. But if they're right at me, I can stop them. And a professional goalkeeper at the USL Championship level is going to stop every one of those goals every one of those shots that comes right at him. So
there we go. Scott Sterling is the name. Thank you, producer Andy, for finding that name quickly. It's Scott Sterling. That would be you in goal with all those 40 shots. Dylan, your thoughts on this match? How come Orange County couldn't at least get 1 point out of this, let alone 3 points?
Well, because we couldn't put it in the back of the net. If we look at the game flow and shout out to American Soccer Analysis, you can find these charts, not, you know, if you're listening along, at Game Flow XPG. Yeah, if we put stuff in the back of the net, we handily win this one. It's nice to see that we're actually generating something over 1xG per game. But it is a little frustrating that when we are giving away, this is what I mean. When you score early, you can kind of give away chances because the other team's always trying to chase. And then we had to chase for the final 30 minutes. And I do think McNulty had an opportunity to do really well. Milan had a couple opportunities to do really well. I think Shetler maybe could have done a little bit better, but I don't think that he was the reason for that goal going in. Obviously, he's going to get some of the blame because he's the goalkeeper, but you know, there was a mistake directly in front of him, and I don't think that cross ever should have made it in. It happens. I'm just glad that we actually showed something of a fight. Usually matches against Phoenix, we see that, but there's been a lot of turnover at both clubs at this point, and not a lot of players left from the old days of just throwing haymakers back and forth until someone comes out on top after 90 minutes. It's disappointing, but at least for me, it almost feels like the rivalry has kind of gone stale, just given the general disappointment of the last year. Maybe for both sides, but you know, oh well.
Let's ask this question, because this is not the first time we've seen a game flow chart where Orange County has such a big discrepancy on XG, yet they lose. So is this a stat that maybe doesn't mean as much in the big picture, or are those just sort of, you know, random things where our XG is so much better, but we still lose a match? I don't know if any of you consider yourself, you know, the experts. Dylan's raising his hand, so Dylan, go for it.
Expert is, of course, a bit of a joke because I'm here on the podcast, but look, this is the difference between a Graham Potter at Brighton and a Roberto De Zerbi at Brighton. Is you can generate as much XG as you want, but you actually do have to finish it. And the easiest way to do that, instead of passing the ball around the 18 and taking shots from, you know, 20, 25 yards out, is just being really direct once you do get the ball and kind of compressing the other team. And generally the chances you get, of course, the closer you are to goal, the higher the XG. So we had all these opportunities to put it in the back of the net, and we never did. And that's why we have great XG, but no goals to show for it. As opposed to,
Taylor.
And I mean, we've seen this, if you take a shot from 45 yards, probably going to have like 0.3 XG at the top end. If it goes in, maybe, I mean, it's not ideal. And you certainly wouldn't expect it. So it's helpful, but we need to do better.
Let me ask you one cool question, Taylor. The goal that we did concede, very tough angle to score a goal on. Should or does Shetler need to make that stop? Is that a difficult stop as a keeper?
I mean, I'm always going to like root for the more, not saying that I could have done any better, but I'm always going to root for more and want more. I feel like you could possibly make that save, but I will say it was a harsh one to like stay on top of. I guess they kind of did the obvious with where they were going, which almost makes it like a little harder. They should never have been allowed through. They should never have been that close. So it was a big, it would have had to be a big reaction save at a tough angle, especially something that shouldn't have gotten through. So, I mean, I'll give that to him. Like, it definitely, like Dylan said, definitely not his fault. Like, can't blame him for that one. There was lots of things building up that were errors getting there. I would like to have seen a little more, but I think he did pretty well in that situation.
Perfect. Let's move on, because we actually have our guest here. They're here a little bit early, and I want to definitely respect time, so we don't want to make them wait too long and hear our so-called expert analysis when we're talking about these matches. But let's bring our guest along here. Been on the show in the past, but we got to welcome him back, and that's Mr. Brent Richards. Just recently passed the 15,000 or 1,500 minute mark? What's the number?
15,000 minutes. Thank you so much for having me on. Good to be back.
Yeah, no, great to have you back. Did you ever think, going back to when you first made your USL debut, that you're going to, you know, make it that long and hit that mark and keep going and still being as productive as you are at this point?
I mean, back, what was it? I don't know how many years I've been in the USL now, but no, I wasn't thinking about number of minutes or numbers of games at the time. I was hoping for a good long career. I was hoping for at least 10 years. I got that, so I'm really thankful for that. And it's been a really fun ride, and to get to 15,000 minutes is special. And I didn't realize it until somebody told me in the last week or so. So it wasn't something I was keeping track of, but it's cool. It's a nice little milestone to have, and to be here with Orange County and doing it here is great.
So in all those, you know, 15,000 minutes or whatever it is, what's your like top moment of that, of those minutes? Like what's your most memorable moment through that span?
I mean, it's gotta be winning a championship, right? Like back in 2021 when we did it out in Tampa. So that was huge. It was something that everybody wants to win a championship. And I think we had a lot of people thinking that we couldn't do it. And the fact that we did, and we won so many games in a row straight to do it was really special. And so that's something it's going to stay with me for a really long time.
Obviously, right. You're always going to be known as a champion here in Orange County, which is an awesome thing that you can keep. Obviously since winning the championship, it's not been the funnest of times, going through, the following season, probably, for everyone involved with the team, not the most, amazing season, probably a disappointment for everyone involved with the club. Going into the season, a lot of high expectations going in, been a little bit of a struggle. And I know there's been the coaching change. How's that been, you know, how have you dealt with that? How has the locker room dealt with the frustration over the last 18 months? And now with the coaching change, what kind of change are you seeing with the, you know, yourself and with your fellow teammates?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it was a really tough season for us last year as a group and as a club, and our standard dropped quite a bit. And I think throughout the entire season, we were still doing our best and we were trying our hardest, and it just wasn't good enough. And we know that we weren't playing very good football, and the results weren't showing, and it hurt a lot. And it was really tough. But so we came into this season really setting our expectations higher again to win a championship again, because we know that's what we're capable of and what this club should be doing. So to not start the way we wanted to this year was disappointing, but we feel like we're still going in a positive direction. Obviously the results haven't been what we want them to be, and in the end that's what matters. But apart from one or two or three games, we felt like we've been playing good football finally for the most part. And we're, like you're talking about, expected goals and that sort of thing. We didn't have that last year. We didn't have a bunch of games where, like, oh, we should have scored 4 or 5 goals in that game. And it was like, oh, I don't know if we deserve to win that one. Whereas this year, it's felt like we were the better team for a lot of the games we've played. And so we're trying to keep that positivity going forward. And we are, I think, a different team than we were even 2-3 weeks ago with the, like you said, the coaching change. And so we have a lot of faith in the guys in the locker room, and we're doing our best to stay positive. And we have a lot of faith in our coach as well. And so we're all bought into that, and we're going to move forward and we're going to get results.
Hey, Brent, Larry, how you doing, bud?
Good. Good to see you.
You too. Always great to have you here. To piggyback off of Ray's question, you go from winning the cup to a last place finish to some struggles so far this season. How do you, game by game, week by week, day by day, how do you keep yourself motivated after 10 plus years to just go back out there and just give 100% every single time that you were out on the pitch? What is it that brings that out of you?
I think for me personally, and for, I think, just about everybody in the locker room, you don't get to this level not having some sort of intrinsic, like, personal motivation that gets you through training sessions, gets you through games, and gets you through hard times. And so, yeah, it's been a really tough 18 months for us individually and collectively as a team, but we still come into training and come into games with the same attitude. And I think if we didn't, then we wouldn't have been in this game for as long as we have. Like we have a lot of really experienced guys in our locker room, and they've all been in tough situations where they're not winning games. And the fact that they're still here and doing it shows that they have the character and they have the professionalism to get through those hard times and to winning games again. And so we have full faith in ourselves and in the club and in the coach and everybody involved that we're going to do that.
Cool. On a slightly lighter note, let's take away from the unhappy stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the Brent bomb. That is a very, very specialized skill in football. When did you realize, how old were you when you realized that you could throw a soccer ball with two hands over your head 40, 50 freaking yards? And how did that come about? And how did you get yourself to that point where you could throw that ball that far?
I really, really couldn't tell you. I've always been able to throw the ball pretty long, and everybody, whenever they see it for the first time, they're like, how do you do that? And I was like, I don't have a good answer for you. It's just something that has always come sort of naturally to me. And I've always been able to throw a baseball really far, a football really far. And so I don't know how much of it is natural or what, but it's, I've been told it's, oh, you got a lot of core strength. Oh, you've got a lot of arm strength, but I really couldn't tell you what it is. But yeah, it's been helpful at times, especially in that 2021 season when we scored several goals off of it. We're hoping for several more this year as well, but yeah, it's a good tool to have and a good ability to have. So I'm thankful that for one reason or another, I was blessed with the ability to do it. And so it's good.
Awesome. And anytime that you are on the sidelines and I'm right there, if the ball's wet, throw it to me. I will throw my phone to the ground like I did a couple of 6 or 7 weeks ago. My girlfriend was watching that game on TV. Did Brent tell you to dry the ball? Is that why you threw your phone on the ground? I said, that's exactly why I did it. So anytime you need it, brother, just ask. I'm there for you. I got
you. Thank you so much. It really, really does make a huge difference.
I don't doubt it. I think Taylor had a question or two for you.
Mm-hmm. I do, but I'll start with my son. He is throwing the furthest on his team, and me and my wife always laugh. We were like, he's going to be the next Brent Richards. So I know that some fans, myself included, are looking forward to Pride Month and what the club is doing for Pride. And we know that you're a strong ally out in the field. So if I can, I'd love to ask, like, what's made you be such a strong support for the community? And then if you have anything planned this year between athlete ally and playing for Pride that you'd like to share with us too.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that has always made sense for me. I think I've been doing the athlete ally and playing for Pride Month every year for the last, it must be 5 or 6 years now. And so it's disheartening to see that there are still issues and people that aren't on board with it. And so it's something I think that is very easy for me to do, to be outspoken about it and support the LGBTQI community. And it's something that I plan to keep doing even after I'm done playing. So I think it's very important, and it's something that's very special to me. I mean, we all have seen things in the news lately that are so many anti-trans things, so many things that are where this community is, in some communities, is actually very much in danger. And so I think people with a platform such as myself need to do everything we can to make sure that that comes to light and that that is something that ends as soon as possible.
I agree, absolutely. And I can't speak on behalf of all the community, but I can speak in the community within my family, and we say thank you very much, and we appreciate the work that you do at your level.
Of course.
And honestly, I want to assume, I think, Brent, I mean, that's why typically your name comes up. We do a fun little game with all the fans for Playing for Pride, and we, you know, try and raise donations for Athlete LA and Playing for Pride. And I think you're a popular pick for a lot of people because of where you stand and how you help support also. So that's an awesome thing there. Dylan, I don't know if you have any questions that you want to ask Brent this evening.
Yeah, Brent, for those who maybe haven't been paying attention, in addition to metric boatload of minutes in the USL, it was also your birthday a couple years ago, so happy belated birthday. An elder statesman of the team at this point, you've talked a little bit about professionalism, you've talked a little bit about being a role model. I promise I'm not calling you old here, but as one of the elder statesmen.
Oh, I'll take it with time.
What are you looking forward to in the next couple of years, and how does your role on the team change as you get a little bit closer to maybe having some gray hairs?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed in the last few years. This isn't the first time that I've been one of the elder players on the team. I think I was, when I was in Reno several years ago, I was also one of the older players as well. And so I've, for the last however many years, at least 5 years, I've been one of those role models and one of the leaders on the team. And my personality isn't one where I'm super loud and inspiring and motivating, especially in the locker room setting or on the field. And so I've always kind of chosen a lead by example role, and I take pride in how I conduct myself on and off the field professionally, and coming in every day to training and making sure I take care of my body. And while I'm not always picking out and going up to the young kids and say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, and to make sure that you're a good professional, I think that it's important for them to see that there are players, and the ones that last the longest are the ones that take care of their bodies, that work the hardest. It's not always the ones that are the most talented, because there's plenty of talented players, far more talented players than I am and ever was, that didn't play nearly as long as I did. And I'd say it was probably because of their professionalism or their desire. So I try to keep that standard high for myself. And while my play and my talent is not always where I want it to be, and I get disappointed in myself, I try and keep the same attitude and mentality of keeping my standard and at least my effort and all the things I can control, keeping that as high as possible.
Let me ask you a quick question, because you obviously you've seen Orange County develop some really great players here that have moved on to some good opportunities. You've seen like a Ronaldo Damas have a great year, that championship year, a Kobe Henry. Who this year are some of those players? I know we're seeing it, and obviously the fans are seeing players like, you know, Bryce Jameson shine out there. But who is really surprising you, or who are you liking to watch most out of these youngsters? Who do you think has that is going to have that next opportunity to take that big step up to maybe Europe or something bigger and better?
I think all of our young players are great. It's a joy to watch them come in and see them train and play with them on the field as well. And I think they're all excellent. I think they all have the ability and the opportunity to do that and go on to the next level, a higher level. But it's one player especially that stands out to me is Bryce Jameson. He came in near the end of last year and still looked like very much like a kid, and was like, oh, I don't know how he's going to do in this. And he did well last year. He scored a goal and right when he came on when we played El Paso. And then this year as well, he's excellent in training. He has the right mindset. It was very similar to Kobe in that he does it, takes everything he does seriously, and he is very committed to the team and to himself and to getting better as each and every day. And so it's been very impressive to see how good of a player he already is, and then also how much he's taking in everything around him, whether it's us as players talking to him or he's listening to the coach, and the coach says, I want you to do this in this moment, and then he goes and does it, because that's always easier said than done. But to be a player at his age that is able to take what people are telling him and then apply it immediately, it's very impressive. And so I think he, as well as the rest of the young players that we have in our squad, have very bright futures.
Awesome. I honestly, I think that's pretty much most of the questions we have for you at this moment. I don't think any fans have thrown in any questions.
Yeah, they have.
We have. All right. Let's see what we got here.
Well, quick fire, Brent.
Brent, Logan Dollar wants to know, who is your favorite team you have played for, not counting Orange County Soccer Club?
Not counting Orange County Soccer Club. I mean, I've enjoyed every team. I think it's easy to say that, but like, I've had a lot of fun and had success at every team I've played at. And I think everyone has been different. And when I was in Portland, that was my hometown club. And I was there for 5 years and obviously enjoyed playing for my community that I grew up in and playing in front of my friends and family there. And so that was an excellent experience. But then went to Reno, and a place that I knew nothing about, didn't have any connection to the community, and was immediately embraced there. And we had a lot of success on the field there. I made some really good friends, teammates there, and it was great. I have only good things to say about both of those clubs. And then obviously came to Orange County and we won a championship in the first year that I was here. And so obviously very, very special as well. And so I think I can only say just how grateful I am that I've had such good experiences at all the places I've been.
And are you considering a career in politics after you finish? Because that answer was really politically solid. You know, you didn't show too much love here. You showed just enough love all the way across the board for everywhere you've been. One other question. Somebody wants to know if you still play guitar.
I do. Not all that great, though. I do my best. I think I did a little bit more right at the beginning of the pandemic, and I haven't picked it up in a little while, but I do every here and there. And I still enjoy it. I love singing and I love playing. So I should be committing more time to it to actually improve at it, but it's something that I do for fun. It's great.
Okay. It looks like Joseph's
karaoke night.
Oh, I do love a good karaoke night too. It's been a little while. So I'm hoping to get back out and karaoke.
We'll have to invite Brian out to come to karaoke with us, huh, Dylan?
No, I don't think that's a good idea. Joseph Figueroa wants to know any team goals and any personal goals for the rest of the season, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, team goals, we were talking about it just today in training. It's the next game. It's winning the next game. That's our short-term goals. And after that, it's winning two games in a row. That's something we haven't done in a long time. And so I think starting slow with winning one game and then winning two games, I think that's going to be huge for us, huge for our confidence, and huge for the team as well. And that it's then slowly make our way up the table. So, yeah, I think we're starting with small goals because it's been a struggle so far, and we're not where we want to be. So we're starting small, but obviously we, big picture, we want to win another championship. And so to do that, we need to start with small goals.
I guess just sort of piggyback on the question. We had Ashish on here last week, and we asked him 2 months from now, you know, where does he see the team? And he made the comment that, you know, team will be fighting for playoffs, potentially even top four. Is that being a little bit overly optimistic on his end, or is that a realistic goal for this team in 2 months to see you guys fighting for those positions in the playoffs and potentially top four in the West?
I think it is. I think you've seen last week we beat the top team in the West, and we were the better team the entire time. And so I think that it's something that we're certainly capable of. It's not like we're going to expect Adams, oh, we're going to win every game for the next 2 months. That's obviously unrealistic, and we know that, but we want to set our sights high, and we want to set our standards high. And so we want to be in that top four. We want to get into the playoffs. We want to be at home for playoffs. And so while you say maybe it's not realistic so far, I don't think that in a month even, or even 2 weeks even, you're going to be saying this is the same team that we saw at the beginning, the first 2 months of the season. I think we are trending in the right direction, and it started with that first win, or that win against Sacramento, the best team in the West right now. And so if we can beat that team, we know we can beat any team. And so I think we're going to be trending very much up.
Perfect. And the next opportunity to trend, well, I guess Russell says something about chickens on your Instagram. what is that in reference to?
Oh, I love chickens. I've had a chicken calendar that one of my good buddies got me several years ago, and I've been doing a yearly chicken calendar ever since. And so every first day of the month, I flip the calendar, and there's a chicken on it. It's or a bunch of beautiful chickens, and it brings me a lot of joy. And some people on the Instagram like it as well, so I'm gonna keep doing it.
That's great. I need to ask: Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I have been to Hawaii. My mother grew up there, and so I've got a lot of family ties in Hawaii, and I love seeing the chickens just running around over the place there.
That's why I had to bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you didn't notice, Taylor's very tan from her recent trip to Hawaii. That's why she looks so tan
nice.
There.
Yeah, that's
a special place.
Yeah, it was my first time there with the whole family, and we arrived and we had some stuff. We had to get like sunscreen from Walmart, and we parked and we got out, and then like seven chickens ran in front of us. And mm-hmm. What? So yeah, that was a very cool experience.
Yeah, all right, so
it's a special place. It's chickens aside.
So we got to test you really quick here, Brent. What's the state fish of Hawaii?
That would be the humuhumu nukunuku apua.
There we go. He got it perfect. I was afraid I would have stumped you there, but you got that. What's the best island in Hawaii too? Let's ask that one.
Oh, they're different, and I would say that I'm most familiar with Oahu. That's where my family is from and where the one I visited the most. And so I still have friends there as well. And so I like going there because it's familiar, and there's like the city feel, which is great. And then you can also get out in the country as well. They say go country and also be really isolated at times as well. And so I'm most familiar with Oahu, but I love all the islands that I've been to.
Perfect. Like, again, political answer for you, huh, Larry? Let's do this. Next opportunity for Orange County to get a full 3 points is going to be a difficult. It's a cross country road trip there to Miami. Never easy for the players, but hopefully you all are ready for that match and y'all come home with a full 3 points. And then we've got a home match to kick off Pride Month, the Pride event for Orange County, and we'll have some sort of playing for Pride game. I know because of league, you know, rules and stuff, you can't participate in it, but obviously we're going to help support that cause with you and try and raise some money as well. So ladies and gentlemen,
thank you so much.
Defender for your Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Brent Richards, thank you as always for joining us, and look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Always.
I don't know if it's just on my end, but right. Yeah, somehow got muted.
Thank God.
Yes, this is the best 30 seconds for everyone's show.
This is fantastic.
Anyway. And it's not even, see? Like,
he's doing the Brad thing, so we'll just jump right in. Look,
we need to make that a weekly segment right there, a new segment on the show, Silent Ray.
Now, see, this is my new podcast. Thank you, everyone, for the second and not only Orange County Soccer Club podcast. We don't have a ton of time left. We're going to jump right to it. Like Ray said, we're off to Miami to play the Miami FC. And yes, it is the Miami FC, like it is the Ohio State University and the only actual professional team that plays in Miami. So, last time we went to Florida, things went pretty well for anyone who might remember. Larry, do you want to maybe recap us last time that we went to Florida?
For those of you unaware, early on in the game, a young feller, Seabass, Guazanovel, Nudie, Nadi, something Italian, might be cannoli, I don't know. He went for a PK, and our goalkeeper just gave this really cool smile and said, no, no, not tonight. And from that point on, the game changed. And next thing we knew, Dylan was shirtless on TV, and my God, it was magnificent. We need to see that again.
We really don't. I'd like to apologize to anyone that did see that. If anyone has any photos of that on your phone still, please delete those. We won a cup, and I'm choosing to bring this up because things haven't been going particularly well. And that was a nice positive memory, and I'm feeling in a great mood after talking to Brent Richards. Anthony Poulos, son of Tony Poulos, for anyone who maybe doesn't remember the good old days of Stoke and West Brom and the late aughts, is running the club. They spend plenty of money, and they've been pretty decent. Taylor, do you have any as ridiculous thoughts as possible on this match for us?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and as my dad would say, my toes crossed as well. I think that we are, like Brent said, and we've talked about, we're on an upward trend. I think there is good juju behind this for us, and we'll take all the good juju that we can get right now. And hopefully it's that little turning point in the season. I'm hoping head coach keeps a solid, or what I've thought to be a solid starting lineup. So I'm gonna predict a win for us this weekend for sure. I'll get to my scores later when it's that segment time, but I'm going for a win.
Beautiful. I'm gonna keep talking, and we'll find out eventually.
Did I get banished? Works. Did Ray I get banished works. To like some like planet, unknown planet over here? I don't know. You know what happened? I just looked at my microphone, and somehow, some way, there must be like a ghost because I did not touch it. But my mic has a little volume control, and it went all the way down to zero. But I had not touched it at all, so I don't know what happened. Somehow Dylan did his like magical, you know, David Blaine stuff here, and like sent his energy through the interwebs into my microphone and turned down the volume somehow.
Yeah, but Dylan just stepped right in and took over, you know, like a fine future solo podcast hoster would in fact do. But he won't be solo because it'll be the
Taylor and Dylan
D&D show, or the D&T show.
But TDTD show.
You know, I taught Dylan all he knows when it comes to this podcasting thing, so.
And I know nothing. If we look at matches that Miami FC have played and Orange County have played the same teams, a 0-0 draw with Oakland on April 29th, a 3-1 loss to Louisville City on Saturday, May 13th, a 3-2 loss to San Diego Loyal on the 20th. So, not
too good. So they sucked against the same teams we sucked against?
Yes. So there's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
It might be one of those games that if they play good, we'll play even better. If they suck, we might suck a little bit worse. So hopefully it's going to be – I feel like our team is very much – they play to the standard they're playing against, which is unfortunate sometimes. But I think that they're kind of on that, you know, push going forward and wanting to switch things around right now. So hopefully we pull through a little bit harder.
I'm hoping so as well. I do think a little bit of fatigue will be playing at an abnormal time for us. I think some of these things are going to have an effect. Of course, flying across the country is never easy. Certainly not when you're supposed to run 6 to 9 miles the next day. So there'll be some level of fatigue. My hope is Miami FC brings it, and we bring it a little bit harder. And we have a little another Sacramento kind of match where we take it to someone and we say, hey, you have to beat us. Yeah. Ray, give us a prediction for this match.
I'm actually putting my prediction right now as we're speaking. My prediction is going to be a 4-1 Orange County victory with Milan Olasky scoring that first goal for Orange County. And that's what's going to happen. I got to have faith. I got to have faith in this team. This is my new thing is I'm going to predict Orange County victories. And it's going to make me move on up the prediction table because we're going to keep winning.
Beautiful. Taylor, hit us with your prediction.
I am going to say, and it's a standard score, but 2-1 win OCSC.
Beautiful. Who scores first for us?
I put Milan every time. I feel like the odds are forever in my favor.
Well, that's not bad. And I mean, as the chant goes, he'll steal your wife and your girlfriend.
Not mine, but
luckily
okay.
For you, he probably won't, because I don't think she's particularly interested. Larry,
for so many reasons.
Milan is just that good, though. He may actually do it. Who knows?
That's not how it works, Ray. You'll learn next month, but that's not how it works.
My prediction, I think that I'm going to be really happy if we can come out of this game with a draw. If you look at the overall records, Miami's not anything special. And we, our record doesn't say it, but I think this team is special. I think there is a lot of firepower on this team. And I think that sometime in the not too distant future, it's going to get unleashed. There is somebody that I do want to point out that we hadn't got a chance to talk too much about the Phoenix game. But did anybody pay attention to Ben Norris? Did anybody watch what this kid did on the pitch?
He got a card, right?
He got a card, and it was beautiful. I mean, this child, this guy who barely got his driver's license 14 minutes ago, took down a much larger man. I thought this kid played great. I thought that he was a difference maker in the second half with just his ability on the pitch. Really, really impressed. Very curious to see more from him. But I think that Sparky's got to be getting close to being able to do 45 minutes. And when that happens, him and Milan on the pitch together for 75 minutes, that is going to be something special to see. And in looking at the minutes that Brian and Milan have played together so far this year, my beard is safe. I have no concerns whatsoever.
Can I say I like Molaski? I think that makes it easier to say.
It's so much easier to say. Molaski
or Bolaski, I guess, would be the two. There we go. Dylan, it's all yours. You took over. You banished me and you took over.
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, I'm here. One all. And I'm going to go, oh, even the roles have been switched for those watching. Wow. I'm going to go Milan Olasky because why wouldn't you? It's hard to bet against the house in this situation. Is there anything else that we need to? Oh, yeah, we need to actually talk about what these predictions are totaling up to at the moment. So producer Andy, look, he's on it. Taylor, unsurprisingly, the only person on this podcast who knows what she's talking about, is doing quite well. Larry, probably in an effort to save his beard, not too far behind. And then the rest of us, including me, who has forgotten to actually submit prediction like three times.
Let's look though, Dylan. Look at those scores. Look at you and me.
Yeah,
I'm no longer in last by myself.
I feel like you providing memes.
Yeah, I will say I'm first, and I forgot. It was only one game, but I did forget 1 week to put in my prediction. But I still have that title right there in our or on air team against the community at large. Not so much.
Yes.
What's when you were like hanging with chickens and getting a tan, Taylor? So you can't be you get an excuse.
Precisely. Yeah. Thank you.
Trying not to pull an Arsenal here. Yes, in the community at large, big shout out to Kayvon, who I believe is at the lead with 25 points. Joshua with 23. I believe that's and Logan. The top three there. And Logan, yes. We maybe don't know as much as everyone else. So perhaps we should be handing the podcast over. We'll have to decide that later on, I think. But
look at first Dylan's trying to like just steal podcast viewers and start his own podcast. Now he's wanting to hand this over to someone else. Dylan, man, what is going on?
just absolute chaos. This is the USL Western Conference, and this is how it works. I don't know if you forgot about West. That, but it is the wild, wild West. Apparently, the scoring format sucks.
Take that up.
I'm going to blame Brad, but he's not here tonight, so keep screaming. And he doesn't have to defend himself live.
Oh, he is listening and watching, I think. So he'll know if someone doesn't like him. So random thought time, I guess.
Yeah. Taylor.
Oh, I mean, I never go first. Random thoughts. Oh, no. I don't have a random thought except.
You just graduated from law school. Come up with something. Let's go.
Oh, I graduated from law school. There's my random thought.
She's like asking for help from the sidelines there.
Would you like to phone a friend? She has indeed. And she came up with the correct response.
There you go. There's my one. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Taylor. And thank you, Ashley, for, I think actually providing the answer. Larry, you can phone a friend. You can source Carrie. This one, if you so wish.
Carrie just got home from yoga, so she went and she hopped in the shower. My random thought, Pride Month is coming up, and I told you guys my little story about what happened today in my store. I'm not going to go into it on air because there's no need. If you all want to ask me about it off air, anybody can feel free to message me. You know what? Stand up for disenfranchised folks. They deserve it. They deserve your respect. It does not matter race, creed, color, sexual orientation. open up. Just saying that you are not anti-LGBTQ or just saying that you aren't racist is not enough. You need to be anti-racist. You need to be anti-LGBTQ. Just saying it's not enough. Go out and show it. Wear a rainbow on a t-shirt and just watch people get pissed off and smile at them when they get pissed off, because that's all they... Yeah, anti-bigot. That's it, Andy. Yes. Nothing frustrates me and annoys me more than seeing small-minded people out there. And we don't need it. It's 2023. Let's go, folks. Let's open up our minds. Remember the old saying, free your mind and your ass will follow. That's it from me.
Thank you, Larry.
Larry remembers songs differently than I remember them.
Larry's making me look bad with my random thought.
That was his intention, Taylor. That's what he was wanting to do.
Yes, that's exactly it, because, you graduated law school and I could have gone to law school but chose not to. So I'm mad at you for that.
There you go. Take it out of me. That's totally fine.
Ray, could you shoot us with a random thought?
Man, I have to follow Larry. Why'd you do that, Dylan? You should have followed him. I'm nowhere at the level of what Larry was mentioning, so I'm just going to go with a random thought. I play in an adult basketball league, and I got the greatest compliment tonight. The compliment was I play like Patrick Beverly. And anyone that doesn't watch basketball, what? Patrick Beverly is that annoying player that gets under your skin the whole game, frustrates you, and creates havoc. And that's my style when I play in the league basketball, is I want to make you so upset that you start missing shots, you start shoving and elbowing and whatnot. So that was a great compliment. I will take it.
Sounds just like you on this podcast, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Hey, that you're saying I purposely try to annoy you guys? You all?
Wait, you don't?
People? I don't.
Oh.
I just try to make it entertaining, because if not, it's going to be like Dylan's NPR voice the whole 45 minutes.
Well, it's usually an hour-long show, but yes. Yes.
Well, other people talk.
Yes. I don't think I talk for 45 minutes. I'll talk for a few seconds here. This is for all the old people out here. Man, you guys really had something crazy with the Grateful Dead. Wow. What a time. Thanks for that. Thanks for creating that. Thanks for keeping it going. That's my random thought. And as we hit the hour mark, I guess we're going to go out on that one. There will be no encore tonight. For Taylor, for Larry, for Ray, for Brad, who, despite being absent, was maybe represented by Ray, and for all the contributors who do the actual meat of the job writing, for producer Andy, and for all the fans, for Brent Richards, and for anyone else, this is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out.
And I'm the...